And it is 12:30 on Thursday here at KPTZ in Port Townsend. I am Taylor Clark, and I am here with our co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, for Bureaucracy Now.
And, hey, Taylor.
Yeah, hi, John. Good. Yeah, I've just got on moments before this, so I'm a little rattled as usual.
Well, I mean, old blue eyes can kind of, you know, calm things down a bit. I never know if it's like Sinatra or Soundgarden I'm going to be walking into here. So it's always great to get an eclectic mix.
Well, it is community radio, and it could be any, all of the above. One
at the same time, why not?
That's the challenge in community radio, is if you can segue together Soundgarden and Sinatra, if you can find two songs that just fit.
If anybody can do it, it's you. I'm really excited about today's show.
Yeah, look, tell us, who do we have here?
Oh, man, we are really lucky to have two real, I mean, it fuses together nicely. We're going to pump up an event tonight. But I want to introduce to listeners Alejandro Palacios, who is a director of a really exciting documentary filming today, locally, and he'll be there. So put that on your calendar. And then Melody Weaver, our illustrious library director, because guess what? That event's happening at the library tonight. So welcome, Melody and Alejandro.
Thank you so much for having us, John. This is one of my favorite things to get to be on Bureaucracy. And it's such an honor to have Alejandro here in Port Townsend, all the way from LA, right? You're on a tour with your movie right now.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, John, Taylor, and Melody for having me. I'm doing this week, I'm in... we had a screening in Lake Washington Tech College, and then today we're gonna be here in Port Townsend, and then tomorrow we're gonna be in Central Washington. So a quick little tour, but I'm having a blast getting to know Washington and sharing the film with the different communities around here.
Yeah, we're just thrilled to have you here. I want to tell you all how I had the good fortune to meet Alejandro. We met at the Washington Library Association conference in May in Bellevue because he was up there showing his film, the Latinx Photo documentary project. And our state librarian, Sarah Jones, she had helped with this project from the library that she worked at in Marin County in California. And it's really showcases the power of libraries working with migrant communities and giving the gift of art to really change people's lives. That's what was really touching to me. You can't watch this movie without getting really happy tears because it's so beautiful.
So, hey, Taylor, can I just offer just a quick framing here? I wanted to ask Alejandro, the description on the event tonight, again, 7 p.m., Port Townsend Library, Carnegie Room.
That's upstairs, right?
And again, Alejandro is going to be there. The poster says the Latinx Photography Project is a bilingual documentary film that explores how a creative practice like photography can succeed at cultivating leaders who are grounded in community cohesion. Alejandro, can you please take that and run with it? Tell us what that means to you and why that describes your film.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the goal with the film was to illustrate how an artistic practice can serve as a vehicle, as a catalyst to for personal growth, for change. The stories that take place in the film resonated with my story too, as an immigrant in the U.S. You leave a lot behind when you cross borders, and how do you rebuild your yourself again? How do you shape yourself to adapt? That was something that I saw in these photographers, men and women in the film, that, sometimes we say things like, you have to find your voice again. And it might sound cheesy or like a cliche or like a very common thing to say, it's I think it really means a lot. It's true that it takes time to reshape that voice. And sometimes it's a matter of reclaiming it and shaking off old beliefs or even your own limiting beliefs. We could talk all day about society and the system and all that, but a lot of this is self-imposed sometimes. And so I feel like the arts are a great way to find that path and sort of like carve your own path. So that's what the film is about. It's also about the story of one town where two pockets of population really work together I've had the fortune of traveling a little bit through the U.S. and it seemed to me like this was a very unique example of two communities working together. When you go to different events in the town, you see these women. The events might not have anything to do with arts or photography or anything like that, but you see them in different roles. You see them rising as leaders, community leaders in their town. And that's another thing that I was really curious to discover. What's going on here? What makes this place so special? And I think you can find some of that in the film. People's mindsets, people's approach to different cultures. There's a willingness to connect. There's a willingness to hear the other. There's a yearning for connection. So that's what the in really broad terms, that's what the film explores.
That ticks all the boxes for someone like Taylor, who, you know, in your role, Taylor, not to interview my co-host, but, you know, just hungering for community connection. That's kind of what KPTZ is all about. So over to you, sir. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was my one thought was what town is it? And when you're talking about about communities, you're talking about different subsets within the community. You're talking about different groups of people coming together for different purposes, you're really looking at how people come together and learn about each other and dialogue together about the things that are important to them. Is that
perfect? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where to go from there. So well, I'm just going to ask again. It's important to me. I tend to place things geographically in my memory, right. So I need to know where the town is. Yes. Sorry to harp on that.
Of course, the main town is called Point Reyes Station, and uh-huh. This is north of San Francisco, maybe like an hour away from San Francisco.
So it's near the Point Reyes National Monument.
Exactly, right. It's Point Reyes National
National Park, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. And is this an ethnically diverse community?
So this is mostly this area. It's mostly composed of dairy ranches.
Uh-huh.
So and they're all spread out. They're very far. It's a rural community. Everything's very spread out from each other. So when the project originally started, women in ranches. One, there were no driver, there were no driver license if you were undocumented or
oh right, of course,
not that many ways for women to get out of the ranches. You know, there's one car per family.
So there's not that much. They had a job, but they sort of stuck with the job.
Right, they're yeah, you're out there in the ranch,
and so their community was limited to the group that worked there. And so the question is, how do we then build tendrils out of that into other?
Right.
Yeah, okay,
right. So originally it was a way for women to learn English, but eventually evolved as a photography project. And now, you know, 15 years later, now they're publishing books, they're working as freelance photographers, they're hanging their artwork in galleries. It's a huge leap from.
How did photography come to be introduced into this group? Is it somebody had the idea, or it was a shared interest, or there were cameras available? I don't.
Well, yes, actually, it started. Nancy Berylson was the founder of the project, and at some point she met this photojournalist from Colombia, uh-huh. Lucilena Castro. They met, and it sounds like they're, you know, both of their paths and passions just combined, and they say, "Hey, I'm working on this project. I want to reach out to women in all these ranches," and so they use photography as a way to do something sort of like. Something with your hands while you're learning English. So they had like all these little cards with like, you know, translations of film, cameras, focus, mm-hmm. all the terms mm-hmm. for photography. Assuming that was the easiest way to connect with people. We all know, we all have a sense of how to take photos or what it means. So if you're capturing your own story, you're also trying to, you know, work with something that is familiar to you. So that was how it all started. They started with disposable cameras, they would take them, develop, and then come back for the next class and look at the photos. That's how it started.
So they actually working with film cameras, not digital cameras.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was all black and white film cameras. Yes.
Interesting. Melody, did you have
I was going to add that this started at the library too, right? In the meeting room, and the library got some grants to help get equipment for the women and
right.
Classes.
That's exactly right. What and a that's nice time. A huge yeah. part of the project, and that's why I'm here. And it's part of the sort of like the mission that I have with the film to highlight that all this happened at a public space. It's the very first way to say you're welcome here. This is a space for you. This is you're safe. Here's a place to for you to learn, to grow. Coming from Latin America, we do have libraries, but we really take for granted the services libraries provide here in the US, I think.
I think, you know, Melody, I saw you touch your heart there.
I know. because it's so moving.
It is, but it plays to the idea that libraries are more than just a place to check a book out. It's a place to get involved in different projects or organizations. It's a place to have meetings. It's a place to meet with your friends. It's a place to come. It's a place for the community to come together.
And let me join to that too, Taylor, because that was exactly what was on my mind. Is Melody, like, this very event being hosted by the library? Talk to us about that synergy your purpose.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it because I think Taylor and John, what you're saying about libraries and Alejandro, is just we are that social living room. We're that third place. We're that trusted space where everyone can come without an agenda. How powerful is that for free? I mean, I still feel that libraries are really one of our last building blocks of democracy. And when you think about the ways that you can empower people and lift communities up, this photo project is so incredible because this library went above and beyond just doing this. They also helped with immigration paperwork. They helped with driver's license. They made sure to hire bilingual staff. They were doing, I think they called it story time on the ranch. They would just drive trucks out and do story times for the families because they knew they couldn't come to the library because they were working. Right. So that, to me, that is what libraries do. It is libraries beyond. I mean, we're very lucky. We have this beautiful Carnegie Library that just celebrated her 109th birthday, but libraries work beyond their walls too. And I think this story is such a powerful testament to that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder too, Taylor, just digging a tiny bit into Alejandro's background too. Alejandro, just putting it in context with just the circumstances, the platform you created quite a while ago. Can you bring us into your larger body of work as a creative artist?
Yes, absolutely. The circumstances is a very in terms of the mission. It's very similar to what this film is and what the project is. It was a way for me to use the arts and sort of like, well, I'm figuring everything else as a newcomer to this country. I can have this practice where I get to work with other people. I'm interested in different forms of art. I tend to work with photo and video, but I'm interested in exploring emerging technologies, 360 video, virtual reality, augmented reality, that kind of content. And oftentimes many of these, the only way you can merge all of these different forms is making installations and have something that people can interact with. So that's my mission. This, I've been making films for 10, 12 years. but this was the very first film that I made entirely on my own, or at least with, I had a group of amazing people working with me on post-production, but for the most part, it was the first time that I could do something entirely on my own. So that's what I've been trying to reflect it with the circumstances, just different collaborations, learning new skills, standing in places that might feel uncomfortable, but I feel like that's where the growth happens.
How did you find out about this, I'm going to say, cultural phenomenon that was going on, and does your documentary cover sort of a period in the development of it, or is it sort of a snapshot point in time kind of thing?
So I first found them at the time I was working for, going back to public spaces, and I was working for a media center, and I was managing the art gallery, so I was constantly looking for artists to bring to the space. If you're familiar with San Francisco or the Bay Area, there's tons of art, there's tons of spaces. There are very few where you can find people of color, let alone farm workers showing their work. So when I found it, I was immediately fascinated, got in contact with them. It took a couple of years to finally connect with the group. But at the time I was doing these profiles for an arts magazine, profiles of artists of color in the community. And I approached them, I said, hey, I have this idea. I'd love to do a profile. But after I met them, there were so many stories, there were so many people with really interesting backgrounds and stories that I thought, well, maybe we should dive into a film. And immediately they were supportive. They were really, really excited about the project. So that's how it all started. And forget, there was a second question you had.
My question was, is that did you look at the culture as it developed, or was it, were you really, had they already, they've sort of up to something, and you captured sort of a snapshot point in time?
It's, I would say a little bit of both. I think I cover some of the history of the project, but I do catch a couple exhibits that they had during the last the 3-4 years that I work with them. The very first year when I started working with them, I would meet every Monday. I would go to their classes, and I made the point of not bringing a camera until I was really familiar with them. It was a huge commitment. A whole year was maybe a little too much, but it really gave me a sense of not just how the group worked, but also what other organizations around them were working, and all these connections in the town. So in a way, it really paid off to have this time to just get to know them. So I did catch a couple exhibits. The very last one before, or actually right before COVID and maybe in the middle of, it's the last exhibit that they had, but probably one of the most powerful that I've seen from their collection. And you can see some of these portraits in the film, where also mostly women in the town that the photographers find inspiring, people that they wanted to honor with their work.
Now, have they formed an organization? And I'm wondering if there's any web presence, you know, if somebody wanted to have a look.
Yes, absolutely. If you go to, so the project is a partnership of the local library, Point Reyes Library, and also Gallery Route 1. So if you go to Gallery Route 1, I think it's .org or maybe .com, you can find some of their photos. I was just meeting with Nancy Berylson recently, and we were talking about a good way to preserve this project would be to start creating a website where there's an archive of the photos. I think it would
right.
be
that
a
would
great
be,
asset for
that,
the community.
That would be really interesting to then go look right. and see, be able to see individual photographers. I'm really interested in, particularly in the, again, this is because I organize information geographically. I'm interested in their location there on the Northern California coast on Point Reyes, because of course, you know, you know, just south of there in the Carmel area was, of course, a hotbed of Ansel Adams and Edward Weston and the F-64 group and all of, you know, that history. And in fact, I think there's still a Weston gallery down there. And so I'm, you know, it's interesting to see another group sort of catch on to that. I wonder if it's, you know, is it the light? Is it the, you know, it must be the light. It's the only thing I could think.
I've asked that question before too. What's going on here? And all I can gather from different people is like it's just the magic of this place. It's just
There's something about it. Well, that is really that's good.
Hey Taylor, I'll batch on to your geographic fascination, because I'm curious too to how we learn as a community through this evening and the story that you're telling, or the stories you're telling, Alejandro, from Point Reyes, and thinking about the similarities and differences between California and Washington State. And, you know, you're traveling through Washington, and, you know, if you look at the poster, I mean, there's all those, you know, it shows those insignias that demonstrate a strong film. You know, it's got the seal of approval from all sorts of film festivals. So that's fun to look at. But I'd be curious about your own journey geographically through states that have a lot in common and probably a lot of difference too, but I really like focusing on what's in common. And even here in Port Townsend, where it might not feel A border town on the southern border, or a town or a larger town with the diversity that they have. We here have a strong Latin presence that is fundamental to who we are and how we shape our own local economy and society. So I'd be curious to see what kind of comparisons you're making as you travel through Washington State.
Well, that's something that I try to pay as much attention as I can. And the most common thing, in a way, sometimes it can be a little sad to see, but it seems to be a common picture, is that you go to a town and there's no visual presence of the different communities in these towns. But then you start digging and you see like, oh, but the staff of the restaurant are Latinos. But then you start finding like all these people and well, this might not be on the most positive side of things. And then you start realizing it. And most people can't really live in this town. They have to live really far away because there's no affordable places for people to live in this town. That's one of the thing that always, it seems to be very consistent everywhere
our radio listeners. John is looking chagrined.
Nailed it. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's an issue, and it's an issue that the city is looking at actively, and it's an issue.
Yeah, but I mean, talk about the some of the premise of your work, Alejandro. I mean, giving people a voice, not just for expression and leadership and community cohesion, but to have an impact on local decision making that affects their lives. I mean, that's pretty important if we're going to be a town for everybody, or any town is going to be a town for everybody.
Yeah, right. That is the hope, and what I'm looking to do with the film is to inspire other people. If their story resonates with mine, I'm hoping that other people will find that also helpful. There are many ways that you can improve your life, and there's always going to be challenges, but there are tons of services that we have in this case, for instance, the public library. There are great ways for you to grow, to develop. And I think, like I said before, sometimes it's more about your own journey of getting rid of old beliefs or limiting ideas that are setting you back. So that's a hope, that there's hope. There's something for you to do, and I'm really hoping that people will find these stories, this film, inspiring and really motivates them to connect, to grow, to change.
Yeah, I'm so hoping we get a good turnout tonight at 7 p.m. at the Port Townsend Public Library in our Carnegie Reading Room. And I want to just express some gratitude to Jasira, the Jefferson County Immigrants Rights Advocates. They were kind enough to help promote the program and to translate it into Spanish to better reach our Spanish-speaking community. So hopefully we get some a nice variety of people at our program this evening. And also the Friends of the Library made it possible, and a generous anonymous donor too, because we really want to support wonderful up and coming artists like you, Alessandro. It's an honor to be able to be a part of this journey with you. And thank you so much, John and Taylor, for having us on Bureaucracy today.
You like read the cue cards in terms of the time left in the broadcast. One of the things maybe that you get to unpack tonight, Alejandro, that I find really compelling is that, as a vehicle for creating cohesion and community leaders, and in a way, I'm always interested in what creates those leaders like yourself, because, in a way, you're an embodiment, an expression of that, and now paying that forward and trying to open up the voice and the opportunities for others. And I hope at some point in the introduction to the film, or somehow, people can see that, that you're living, breathing leadership and creating this kind of vehicle is exactly, just really pairs with your personal experience. And I just find that really compelling.
Thank you, John. That's very warm to hear.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yes.
Okay. And I mean, Melody just said it, Taylor, but 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yeah.
In the library, be there.
And so we have been talking with Alejandro Palacios.
Palacios.
And who is a documentary filmmaker, and his film is going to be shown tonight in the Carnegie Room, 7 o'clock at the Port Townsend Public Library. Thank you, Melody, for joining us, and thanks to Jay Sera and to your anonymous donor for helping make this possible. And John, great guest today.
I'm so grateful for Alejandro and Melody being here. And also for those who might be wondering, oh, should I go tonight? On our Facebook page, City Facebook page, you can find the brochure and some of the information. Go watch the trailer. It's just a couple minutes.
Oh, there you go.
It's pretty compelling. Yeah. And it's a really good way to see if this is for you. And my guess is that you'll be inspired. You'll want to come tonight.
And it's free, right? That's the beauty of the public library. So everyone is welcome.
And Taylor, always a pleasure. I'll see you next week.
Okay. And so for our guests, you probably know that we typically just play a little music here as we segue into a blues journey. We are going to be hearing today from Otis Rush from 1960 and a song called So Many Roads, So Many Trains. It's apparently a train song. So let's hear that. And thank you all for joining us. And John, I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, okay. Everybody.
All right.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.